The five discoveries of which I spoke to you during the last few days are extremely important. In a sense, they are stupendous discoveries. Because they are stupendous, there is a tendency to be so much overwhelmed that there is a view that all that has to be known is already known in the Veda. And this sometimes puts a brake on new developments and new discoveries. We have to underline, however, that the Vedic rishis never claimed that all that had to be known has been known. The Vedic rishis themselves claimed that knowledge is infinite, it is endless. There is a statement in the very first chapter of Rig Veda where it is mentioned that as we rise higher and higher, new vistas of knowledge open before us. In the sixth chapter, there is a very special verse. This is by Bhardwaja, where there is a special prayer to Agni. And the prayer is, O Agni, protect those who are the discoverers of new knowledge. So the very spirit of the Veda is the spirit of constant discovery of new knowledge. Perhaps because of that reason, there has been in India no dogmatism of the kind that we find in many traditions. There is dogmatism, but not of the kind and of the degree that we find in many other traditions. You might say in India there is a very great deal of scientific spirit. Scientific spirit consists of a few elements which are distinguishable from many other attitudes and many other spirits. There is, for example, a skeptical spirit. This spirit is just to remain constant in a state of doubt. This is not scientific spirit. Skepticism can be a part of science and philosophy, but not the spirit of skepticism. The aim of philosophy or science is not to arrive at doubt. Doubt can be an instrument, can be a springboard for discovery of new knowledge. But to arrive at the truth, that is the scientific and philosophic spirit. there is sometimes what is called critical spirit. That also is a spirit which always wants to criticize whatever is presented. Now again, this spirit of criticizing is fine. It has its value, its place. But if you take it as a permanent spirit, then it would mean as if truth is never discoverable and never can you arrive at a point where there can be no criticism. So this also is not a part of scientific spirit. On the other hand, there is a religious spirit. A religious spirit is an advocate of what is called revelation. The truth is known, according to this spirit, by revelation, and it can never be questioned. It can never be criticized. It can never be renewed. It can never be modified. It can never be enriched. It is known once for all, and you cannot question it. This is dogmatic spirit. Having spoken of these different spirits, now we can say, what is scientific spirit? And this is a special characteristic also of Veda. Veda has scientific spirit. Scientific spirit consists of a few elements. First, freedom to observe. First thing is, in all scientific movement, there is freedom to observe. Observe as much as possible, as widely as possible, as highly as possible, as deeply as possible. Observe. And freedom to observe. Secondly, to make experiments. You observe a fact, then you want to observe the facts under certain special conditions and see how in those conditions the same facts appear or different facts appear. This is experimental. Then you develop the process of induction, in which you try to see if there is a causal connection between one set of facts and the other set of facts. And if you see causal connection, then you arrive at a law, at the knowledge of law. There is a causal connection between the mixture of oxygen and hydrogen. The formula is H2O, and you get water. This is a causal connection. And you establish a law that wherever this mixture occurs, this will be the consequence. It's a piece of knowledge. Whenever there's a causal connection is established, you arrive at knowledge. But having arrived at that knowledge, the door is not closed. You don't say, this can never be questioned, this can never be modified, we cannot go deeper. You can't ask a question. You can ask a question according to science. Why is it that whenever H2 and O, that is hydrogen and oxygen, meet together in such and such proportion, Why does it produce water? This question is legitimate. You may be able to find out the answer to this question also. And if you do so, it will be addition to the knowledge. So the mark of science is a movement towards knowledge, search for the truth, establishment of the truth, but with the provision that you are free to investigate further and discover new knowledge or confirm the old knowledge, repeat the old knowledge, modify that knowledge, enrich that knowledge, verify that knowledge again and again. I spoke yesterday of the yoga of the Veda, and the yoga of the Veda has this precise attitude. The knowledge which has been obtained can be verified in personal experience so that you can be personally satisfied about what is contained in the statement of knowledge. You can therefore modify, you can enrich, you can have new knowledge. That is why Sri Aurobindo speaks of the science of yoga. Yoga is a science. It's a scientific knowledge. And when we are dealing with yoga, Veda, we should deal with it in a scientific spirit. Fortunately, in India, yoga has been recognized as a science. And there have been lots of developments in the knowledge which has been achieved through yoga. If you look at the history of yoga in India, starting from the Veda, you can make a kind of a tracing and you can find out how in India the knowledge gained by yoga has been confirmed, first of all. That is one mark of science. You confirm again and again throughout the history. So how the yoga, yogic knowledge of the Veda has been confirmed in later times. But also how that knowledge has become more specialized. Sometimes by narrowing the field of knowledge, you can specialize and you can discover some special knowledge pertaining to that domain. That also has happened. Like in the Upanishads. Upanishads were very near the Vedas. And I am going to tell you something more later on whenever I want to speak to you, how from the Vedas Upanishads developed. But in the Upanishads there was some kind of narrowing, some kind of specialization. But as a result, there was also some kind of enrichment, even a culmination of the movement of knowledge that you find in the Veda. That is why Upanishads are also called Vedanta. Veda, Anta. Anta means culmination of Veda. Veda culminated in the Upanishad. That is, some kind of knowledge which was being built up in the Veda got some, not a full culmination, but a kind of culmination in the Upanishads. And then we can see further, there was one great landmark in the development of yoga when you come to the study of the Bhagavad Gita. In the history of yoga, if you want to make a very brief survey of Indian history of yoga, I normally put down only five landmarks: the yoga of the Veda, yoga of the Upanishads, yoga of the Bhagavad Gita, yoga of the Tantra, and yoga of Sri Aurobindo. These are the five big landmarks. There are other landmarks also. Take for example the landmark that we find in the yoga of Sri Chaitanya. I am taking as few names as possible so that your mind does not get blocked only by names. But Sri Chaitanya is one of the very great names in the history of Indian yoga. It is a yoga of devotion that was advocated by Sri Chaitanya. And the kind of love that is underlined, that was manifested in Sri Chaitanya, is a very special kind of development which was not in the Veda or Upanishads or in the Gita. It's a new development. The kind of synthesis of yoga, of knowledge, action and devotion that we find in the Bhagavad Gita is something very special. It is a kind of a new synthesis, all the elements of which are not to be found in the Veda or the Upanishads, except in a seed form. In a sense, we might say that Veda is a seed. As a seed, it is something very potent, contains so much in it. And the whole of Indian development may be regarded as a banyan tree which has grown out of the seed of the Veda. But still, seed is not the banyan tree itself. There is a difference between the seed and the banyan tree. Banyan tree is a development. And as a development, it manifests many things which are not visible in the seed. The important point is that in India, yoga is not seen to be a closed book. That is the main difference between religion and yoga. Religious spirit is to consider the revelations of the past as something unsurpassable, which cannot be surpassed, which cannot be further questioned. It is a closed book. In yoga, it is not a closed book. There is a constant development of knowledge. That is why in India, those who have surpassed the past are not easily condemned. In many other traditions, the moment you surpass the past, you begin to be condemned. But in India, this has been allowed. There has been an acceptance that one can move forward, one can propound something new, The only thing is that when you propound something new, it should be scientific in character. It should be based upon observation, upon experiment, upon verification. And in the case of yoga, verification by abiding experience. Abiding means an experience which constantly lives with you. It is not lost.